we say it a lot, Montana, it's not really rural medicine, it's frontier medicine in a lot of ways. We have clinics, and especially these critical access clinics, that they're so vital to our communities that we have to focus on them. And we're doing that an awful lot, especially in the legislature. The value of Medicaid to Montana's rural hospitals and clinics, that's something we talk about an awful lot, because there's going to be some funding issues coming up in the next legislative session for Montana's portion of their Medicaid expansion, mental health services, ambulance funding also on the plate here. We have Sherry Taylor of Logan Health, Cutbank in Chester, and Representative Ed Buttrey in studio today as we mull this over on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483, or you can text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. And now here's your host, in the middle of the week, Mr. Wednesday, Tom Schultz.
Hey, thank you. I hope you guys are having a good, healthy Wednesday. We our health care is always like on the front of our minds, but sometimes we put it in the backs of our minds as well, just to get through the day. What do we do if we don't have healthcare professionals? What do we? And it's not just like they're all gone. What if 10% of them are not there? What if some of the services that we need, that we rely on, that are critical for us or for our family members, and they're not available because, well, why? Because we didn't answer the tough questions there. We're talking about this today a little bit, and then we'll get on to some of the things that are challenging our rural hospitals as well. A couple of guests in studio, and it's a pleasure. It's an honor to have me here. Sherry Taylor of Logan Health, President, Cutbank, and Chester. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for
it's
coming.
Great to be here.
Appreciate that. You're next to a real dangerous guy. Ed Buttrey is with us, a representative. He's serving on the Business and Labor Committee, been in the legislature since 2011. Ed, thank you for the work you're doing there. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us here on this beautiful day.
Yeah, and this topic, is it's not easy to talk about because, when we try to balance finances and our healthcare needs, we're asking two pretty tough questions, I think. What we want is unlimited resources, but that is not the case, is it, Sherry?
No, in rural areas, we are very much limited with our resources, and the biggest thing that we kind of come up against is there's lots of demand for health, and we want to take care of our community, but we need to have the stability and finances to make sure that that happens. And that's why for us in rural areas, I would say this is the number one topic. And in Montana, you'll see out of the few states, Montana is the only one that has not lost a critical access hospital. And I think it really is attributed to our legislators like Representative Ed Buttrey coming up with Montana Solutions that has been able to be there and make sure that we're there for our communities and taking care of them.
And Ed, interesting, you chaired the business and currently in the House, the Business and Labor Committee, and your approach to this was specifically an economic consideration, I guess. And it makes a lot of sense when you do the math as you do.
Yeah, it's always amazed me that healthcare is such a political discussion. It doesn't seem like it should be.
Yeah.
But my background is in business. And as a business person, one of the things you quickly realize, especially if you're in the service industry, is that if you have workers that are unhealthy, either physically or mentally, or they have addiction or other issues, they're not going to be beneficial to your business, and they're certainly not going to be able to take care of themselves and their families. So as we started looking at solutions for healthcare, to me, it was important that you had a merger between healthcare and economic development, that you had to have them working together, because what we want is a healthy workforce. We want people taking care of themselves, getting good jobs, getting benefits, being able to provide more for themselves versus having government or other assistance. And it seemed like they should match together, and that's what we tried to put together.
What are critical access hospitals, Sherry, dealing with nowadays? What are the services they provide?
So right now we do mostly primary care. We do emergency care. We do a lot of outpatient and physical therapy, CTs, along with some IV therapies and different procedures and labs that people can get. And for us, we're about 80% outpatient. So for the most part, we're taking care of your needs and your preventative, you know, doing scopes and different things like that, that people need on a day-to-day basis. But then, you know, we have that more intensive care with inpatient. And sometimes we have a program that's called swing bed, where patients can come back after having a heart attack or a knee replacement or our hip, and they just need a little bit more therapy to just get to the point where they can be at home successfully. And we help with that for that little bit longer stay.
And Ed, I'm going to go back to you, Representative Buttrey. How much of those needs, and we'll probably talk more about it as well or get into them. Mental health is a huge need, an emerging need. How much of those needs do our legislators or does the public understand for our rural hospitals?
Well, I think it's hard for almost anyone to understand all of what healthcare encompasses and everything that everyone needs in healthcare. And it's really is a problem is all these different types of healthcare. When you look at it, that the healthcare system itself is so complex and so expensive that really without some help, including government help, a large portion of Montanans simply can't afford it. And so they don't get preventative care. They don't get treatment. They don't get counseling. What they end up doing is they'll get healthcare. And prior to the HELP Act, prior to implementing this program in Montana, this population was getting health care, but they were getting it when they're really sick, when they're chronic, when they're going to have long-term issues, and then they're getting it in the emergency departments and emergency rooms where it's the most expensive. So they're getting it, but nobody's paying for it. And so your health care provider is providing the service because they have to. They're getting no compensation for it. So what do? They've got a couple choices. One is they can shift that cost of providing the service onto the rest of us that have commercial insurance or self-pay. Or they can cut services, so they're not providing as many types of care for their community. And in rural Montana, that's critical. That's their only options, because if they're going to continue to be viable as a business, they have to be able to compensate for that loss of revenue because they provided service without getting any reimbursement. And that's, again, why we created a program to get them paid for the service they're providing, get people healthy, and get them in the workforce.
And Sherry, I presume you're shaking your head because that happens a lot where – people are using the emergency room for visits. I know that education is trying to veer away from that and wellness, and I think that's a big part of it as well. But still, it happens a lot. And, you know, talk about that dynamic.
Yeah, so it's the most expensive care because it's not really continuity of care in order to take care of their needs. It's just it's fixing this acute episode, and then, you know, in a couple of days we have another acute episode, and we're not getting to the root cause. And so by having this program, people can go to the primary care and they can like get at what's really going on so that they can quit having to continually use healthcare services. And sometimes when people don't have this, they're not going to the primary care and they're coming in and they're not taking care of things, that puts them into a very acute episode of a stroke or a heart attack that then they have to go on to much larger places in order to do it.
Why didn't Obamacare fix this, Ed?
Well, Obamacare, like a lot of federal regulation, is sort of a one-size-fits-all program where the feds decide these are the requirements for eligibility. These are the things that you're going to have to provide benefit for. This is who you can say qualifies for the program versus doesn't. And it's really tough when you're looking at New York or California and imposing those same requirements on Montana. It's tough. And so the ACA does have a lot of issues with it, mainly because it's a one-size-fits-all. Federal government knows best. Just do what we tell you to do. But it has worked well enough. There is some innovation that we can do. And when we created the HELP Act in Montana, the Health and Economic Livelihood Partnership, like I said, it's a merger between healthcare and economic development. We were able to craft a unique solution under very tight federal guidelines that actually made it work. And it's, you know, and we've always thought, and especially folks on my side of the aisle have thought, there's a better program out there. There's got to be a better way to do it. This program was started in 2010, was really implemented and put in use in 2014, 2015 at the federal level. That's 10 years ago. And have we seen anything else, any other alternatives come out of states or the federal government? Even when we had Republican control of Congress and the presidency, there hasn't been any, no one's come up with something that is a better solution. Ultimately, I'd like to have more control with the state so that we can determine our own eligibility. We can determine the benefits that we provide, those things. But for right now, we crafted, using a not a great toolbox from the feds, we crafted a great program. And it's a very efficient program. When you look at our Medicaid spending as a proportion of our budget, we are less than any of our peer and surrounding states. We spend less on Medicaid as a proportion of our budget than Colorado, Idaho, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Washington. We've done it really well. And it's something we should be proud of. And we did it as an economic development tool. And we put people on the program and we've got people off the program.
That's an important point to talk about, is that I think the general notion is that when people get on government services or government care, that they're there to stay. I think people, and I've shared this on the radio as well, many years ago, we were using, you know, food stamps and that sort of program. But we didn't. It was a hand out or a hand up, so to speak, at the time. Yeah. So it's maybe that's just a misnomer, but that's something that you face, Sherry.
It is. And I think the thing that people really need to realize is what we've really seen from our patients is that through this program, they can get the services that they need. They can go on and better their livelihood and themselves. And they then go on to working at businesses with commercial insurances. And we've seen it in our business. We've seen it with our patients. We even brought in, because now we had the means, to behavioral health so that we could help those patients who were continually. And behavioral health is huge in ER. I mean, everyone says, you know, it's 5 o'clock or it's the weekend. The ER is your health, behavioral health services. There's nobody else open. And that doesn't work well. And when we were able to set up an appointment with those people who were continually coming in the ER for those services, get in, and they were getting taken care of, and we weren't seeing them back sometimes. So it's not, I mean, not 100%, that's not always, right. But I'm telling you that, simply put, the HELP Act is what kept Cut Bank and our small rural hospital open. And without it, I can tell you, I think there would be one less hospital in Montana.
You know, and I think that's the push, or that's what we're up against here, is that you either fund these services or the services go away. But Ed, you're a solutions guy, and that's probably not a very appealing solution to you to have that. So
no, I think it's how you set up the program, and you had sort of mentioned the entitlement of these get on it, never come off program. And I think you could probably set up a expansion program that was really just a healthcare program. And hey, if you're low income, come use it. And it may be something that folks would utilize for long periods. But in Montana, we didn't want that. We wanted to make sure we were getting preventative care and services to this population. But we also wanted to make sure that we had a pathway for them to come back off of the program. And so we had a lot of metrics in place to measure people are coming on, but are they going off?
Yeah.
And the way we set it up, we found, this is prior to pandemic when you couldn't take someone off the program, that the average length of time that a person was on the HELP Act rolls was less than 24 months. And we furthermore saw, prior to the pandemic, when the economy improved, we saw our Medicaid rolls drop drastically. I think they dropped around 15%. And so economy's great, more jobs available. We're providing training, basic job and life skills to the population. They come off it, they go to their employer, they go on the exchange or employer insurance. Times are tough, pandemic, more people need help, the rolls increase. And that was exactly what it was designed to do.
I'm going to talk more about the pandemic because I think that has changed a lot of dynamics when it comes to healthcare, especially that relationship between the patient and the provider. But before I do that, I want to ask you, Sherry Taylor, President, Logan Health, Cut Bank and Chester, as Ed described the Medicaid program, Montana Medicaid Expansion Program, is it working that way? Is it efficient that way? How is it working from your perspective?
It's working great. And I really appreciate how a group of Montanans got together and sat down and said, how can we do this best for Montana? And how can we do it in that it supports what needs to happen? And it provides just what needs to be there and not more than that. And that really did come into place. And so what you are seeing, and we are seeing too, is people are not staying on it forever. I'm telling you, before this, we were taking care of the population. You want to talk about entitlement? People just walked in our hospital and they were entitled, right? That was entitlement. What happened was nobody but the other population were paying for it. So now we have, instead of getting expensive care, they're getting outpatient care that at a cheaper rate. And all of us are benefiting from that. The other thing is when we brought in behavioral health, I mean, they're a smaller portion. the super majority of our behavioral health, like 43%, is commercial. So without having that population to be able to pay their portion, we couldn't bring behavioral health into our rural health clinics. And that wasn't even a thought process before. And now we're able to really meet all the needs of the community.
And that's something we'll pick up when we come on back to the critical need for behavioral health as well. Is it being met in Montana? This is one of those ways that has drawn some attention to it as well and some solutions toward it as well. But I think it's a bigger problem that needs to be addressed too. So we'll come on back with more. Sherry Taylor is with us from Logan Health and Representative Ed Buttry here on Voices of Montana.
Studies show medical internists spend as little as 13 minutes with patients, including with those over 65. It's time for a healthcare measured in thoroughness rather than speed. And Greater Good Health is here with a new model of senior healthcare. From comprehensive primary and preventative care to understanding chronic illnesses, Greater Good Health connects to your needs at your pace. Serving seniors in Billings, Great Falls, Missoula, and greatergoodhealth.com. Senior Health. For the greater good.
The 2024 world famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale starts with horse racing. 6 days with Parimutuel wagering May 4th and 5th on Derby days, coinciding with the Kentucky Derby that'll be shown live in Miles City, Montana. Mother's Day is extra special with moms free to the races and more races added May 17th through the 19th. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. For a full schedule and tickets, head online at buckinghorsesale.com.
Hi, this is Mark with the Montana Department of Revenue with a message for property owners. Spring is here and you'll soon be seeing our staff in the field to perform property reviews. It's not necessary to be present, but if you'd like to make an appointment to visit with us, or if you have questions about the appraisal process, visit mtrevenue.gov, contact one of our field offices, or call 444-6900. Thank you from the Montana Department of Revenue.
Hey, Colder, have you tried that place in Bozeman, the Sapphire Motel? There this week. Friendly front staff, parking right in front of my room, modern amenities, and budget-friendly with that ag rate.
Ag rate?
Yeah, the ag rate at the Sapphire Motel, a discounted rate for ag folks attending conferences, 4-H, or other events in Bozeman, close to I-90, downtown, and Montana State.
Go Cats, and a go on that ag rate.
The Sapphire Motel, down-home comfort and a classic motor inn, 310 North 7th in Bozeman.
According to a report from the State Department of Labor and Industry, last year at least 21,270 Montana parents reported being unable to participate in the labor force due to family responsibilities and a lack of child care. A lack of high-quality child care has also prevented another 45,000 from fully participating in the labor force, making the workforce shortage even worse. A biannual statewide poll by the University of Montana released Tuesday shows an increasing number of residents say the quality of life is getting worse. They point to ongoing development and what they say is the changing character of the state as primary reasons. In the 6 public land survey poll, 6% of Montanans said their quality of life has gotten better. The Montana Department of Agriculture is now accepting applications for its student loan assistance program. Qualified farmers and ranchers could receive grants equal to 50% of their outstanding student loan debt. With Montana News headlines on the Northern News Network, I'm Brian Bennett.
Montana State University is proud to be named the number 2 military-friendly school in the nation by MilitaryFriendly.com. Montana State serves more than 530 veteran students and their families. Visit the Travis W. Atkins Veteran Support Center, home to MSU's veteran student mentors, support services, and a gathering space for veteran students, their spouses, and their families. Montana.edu/veteran.
Did you know that rail is the safest form of ground transportation? BNSF Railway leads the industry in reducing rail equipment incident rates. This means continuing to invest in people and technology, from intensive training to rigorous inspections, from grain trains to coal trains. BNSF Railway is committed to keeping our community safe and moving your product carefully and efficiently to its destination. This is BNSF.
A lot of things come to mind when we talk about some of our healthcare challenges in Montana for our rural communities in particular. Talking a little bit here now about mental health. Of course, the Medicaid, Montana's Medicaid expansion is going to come up for reauthorization in the next legislature, and it will certainly be, I don't know if I want to call it a battle, but there'll be a lot of things to consider, and the public needs to be a part of this discussion. And so I'm thankful to have Sherry Taylor of Logan Health. She's the president of Logan Health, Cutbank and Chester along the High Line there, and Representative Ed Buttrey, House District 21 out of Great Falls. Was serving since 2011 and serves currently as the House Business and Labor Committee Chair and a well-known businessman in the Great Falls area. Sherry, and thank you guys for being here. I really much do appreciate it because we are going to bump in to some difficulties in funding and finding right solutions for our health care. But it's something that we just can't go, oh, well, maybe it's just – maybe we can't handle it. We'll just let it happen. Healthcare, mental health care is one of those things, I think. There's been a push to recognize people suffering from mental health. There's been a push to recognize that there's not a lot of resources, especially in the rural areas. How do you approach mental health in the term, in the sense of overall wellness for your communities?
Absolutely. We are finding that it is essential because before, when you went into the primary care, you know, they would ask you a whole bunch of questions and they would take your blood pressure and stuff like this. And now we're finding that we do a checkup from the head up is what we call it. And we're asking mental health issues and realizing that they really tie in with just physical issues and how important that is. And if you don't take care of that, you continue to have these physical issues that really primary care can never take care of. And so we are finding that when we bring that together in the same rural health clinics, that we are taking care of the full person and we are really getting them healthy all overall. And in essence, then they can go on and not continue to have some of those chronic conditions and get off medications and really start to do a better for their own physical well-being. And that does play in their mental well-being. And before, we tried to just say, hey, we were just in the medical field. We're just doing physical. And that doesn't really work together, but we found actually it is just a perfect fit. And if we don't step into it, it's just like digging our head in the sand. We end up in the ER or we're pushing them on to this, you know, the state mental health program is really struggling right now. And we're pushing more people there, right? If we don't, as communities, try to deal with it. When we do deal with it on outpatient, they don't become a inpatient crisis situation. Now, that doesn't happen with everything, but we realize that all those people that we can intervene up front, and sometimes we can even have our counselors come and be in the ER, and so then getting them to get to outpatient care, and then they stop continually coming in that most expensive care.
Well, I'm going to have you talk about the cost, Ed, and the cost savings in that too, but Sherry, you talked about the continuity of care.
Yeah.
Do you have that then for in that mental health field?
Yeah.
You do.
So yeah. We are coming together, and it's also what's really cool is then our counselors are there with our physicians and nurse practitioners and PAs, and they can have conversations jointly together about how to really take care of the patient. And they're getting a more comprehensive care plan together. And I think that has been a huge benefit. The other thing is through this, we saw that there's like a huge need in the school system, and the schools were saying, we need behavioral health services. And we, this year, we're able to go in and provide that services right at the school. Hey, the parents are the ones who are giving us the authorization to do it. They're coming and seeing at the clinics, but then they don't have to pull their kids out of school. Their kids can get taken care of behavioral health. So they don't grow into having substance abuse issues and other things. They can take care of the root problems. And hopefully in the future, we are curving a whole bunch of costs.
And Representative Buttrey, this plays into your discussion about penny-wise spending when it comes to health care. But as you noted, it's education as well. I mean, there's a lot of webs, or it's a larger web than we might think. But this is penny-wise spending, I suppose, if you can get those services away from the expensive emergency care.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's pay now or pay more later. But There's just a couple things that I don't know if a lot of people understand about the ACA or what we call Medicaid expansion here in Montana. The federal program's budget neutral. It's required by federal law to be budget neutral, so it is not contributing to the federal deficit. The federal government collects all sorts of fees, and they had rate cuts to things like Medicare, to hospitals. All of these fees and savings to the federal government pay for the program, and that's why it was implemented in 2010, where the law was passed, but it wasn't actually put in use for a number of years because they needed to collect the funds from these fees and other ways they were generating the money to be able to pay for the users in the program. So it's budget neutral. It does not contribute to the deficit. It can't by federal law, but it still is an expensive part for states. And in Montana, we have a lot of the federal money that we paid in the system coming back, but we also have a general fund expenditure. And for the last biennium, it was about $82 million. That's Montana taxpayer dollars that go into funding the care that's provided by this program to our working low-income folks. And we hear about that a lot. This is very expensive. Look at how much it's costing. Mm-hmm. But as you discussed, I'm a business guy, and I got involved with this because I am a business person. And I know when you look at a program, you can't just look at the expense side. You also have to look at the revenue side. You're looking at a whole P&L. If you focus on just what it costs, you're not getting the story. So when we look at the prior biennium and the benefits, the revenue to the state, there's a significant amount of money that the state saves because we have moved people from traditional Medicaid, where we pay a higher share of the cost, to expansion to the HELP Act, where we pay a lower share of the cost, and that saves the state about $30 million biennium. We are able to pay for substance use disorder, mental illness, inmate medical treatment, other services that before were general fund dollars, and now they're coming from money that we paid in the system coming back from the federal government, and that saves the state about $14 million a biennium. The state administers the bed tax system, which is a whole nother discussion, but the state gets a share of that money to administer the system, and that brings in about $15 million. But the big hitter is that there is in a significant amount of tax revenue generated because of this program. We created 7,500 jobs, and we've sustained that through the program. And these jobs have created $475 million in personal taxable income and $775 million of taxable economic activity in the biennium. So when you look at the taxes, because people, we've increased and we've grown multiple industries, people are paying taxes. That's generated $50 million for the state. So the revenue side, it comes to about $109 million for the past biennium compared to the expenses of $82 million. Revenue minus expenses means that this has saved the state budget $27 million per biennium. And that's an important number to consider because if we choose as a legislature not to continue the program, we have to come up, we're going to have a $27 million hole. And what do we do with that? Well, we cut other programs like economic development or other programs that people use, or we increase taxes because we have to balance a budget. And that's something that people need to consider when they're making this decision.
So it's currently funded at about $82 million, right?
That's the state general fund portion, the Montana taxpayer portion. We spend over $2 billion a biennium on the program. It's a combination of federal money, combination of hospital money, state special revenue, and then the general fund appropriation. But that's coming to work for Montana to help our working poor get healthier and eventually get off the system.
Representative Ed Buttrey, again, chair of the Business and Labor Committee for the House and has served in Senate as well. And then Sherry Taylor is with us. She's president of Loken Health, Cutbank, and Chester. How many employees are in Cutbank and Chester total?
A couple hundred.
Yeah. There's jobs involved in this as well. We'll come on back with more here, Medicaid discussion on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
We'll be right back.